Hello and welcome back to This Week on Channel 9.
I'm Vlad.
Hey guys, I'm Nicola.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
I'm Brian Keller.
We have a special guest with us.
Hi.
Dimitri.
And I'm Greg Duncan.
And we have Shen back.
Hey, long time no see.
This is Mark.
This is Vlad.
And I'm Petri.
I'm Robert Green. Joining me is
Scott Klein.
My name is Seth Juarez.
And I am Kendra Havens.
I love you, man. I love you.
Hey everybody, welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. My name is Nicola.
And I'm Vlad.
We have a great show for you today. We're going to start off with the greatest news of all. We are getting older.
Yes.
It's show 400!
400.
400. We've had 400 shows, which is over 9 years. We just had our 9-year anniversary, which is over, 6,000 minutes, which is almost over 4 days. So if you watch all the shows from the first one that we did all the way to this one, you're going to be watching the shows for 4 straight days. That's binge watching right there.
Yeah. Actually, 10 seconds ago, I realized before we took over the show from Dan and Brian, they were doing show number 300.
That's right.
Which means that we've done more than 100 shows.
That's right. We've been on the show for 100 shows.
Yeah. That's a big deal.
Okay. Well, cool. I mean, it's a great show. Here's for another 400 shows.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. There we go.
Keep rolling.
Anyway, so the big news, I think, this week was we officially announced the Creators Update for Windows 10 being officially available. And we also have the Creators Update SDK now available for download. So anybody can download this and start building Windows 10 applications targeting the Creators Update SDK.
So make sure to download the one that says 15.0.63.
63, that's right.
Yeah, that's the build for Windows and for Windows SDK 2.
Correct. Yeah, that's right. And it comes with all kinds of new stuff. If you've only been on the Anniversary Edition SDK, there's a whole lot of improvement in this new SDK. There's improvements around, my favorite improvement is around the composition, the visual layer, which comes with a whole lot of new effects and better improvements. And all kinds of new stuff you can do with all the stuff. We have the implicit animation stuff that we've added is just amazing stuff that you can do.
Right and now. My favorite improvement is obviously mixed reality one. Mm-hmm. So we have all the APIs in place. And we also have on actual Windows build, we have this mixed reality portal, which includes emulator. So even without having a headset, you can start developing mixed reality apps.
Which is great. Yeah, and you can just start in the simulator and it works great. Yeah. I've been doing it. I've started learning Unity myself, which is pretty cool. That's right, with a little bit of your help. Thank you so much.
And you know, it's not that emulator like we have for Windows Phone or for HoloLens. It's actually running on your PC, right?
That's right.
So, yeah.
So you just, can full power of your PC to actually run these.
Exactly. You can use Xbox controller to move around and
It's really cool.
Awesome.
Now, if you've been on the Insider preview builds for Windows 10, and if you want to stay onto the Creators Update, if you don't want to take the new updates, there's an option to do that. If you go to the settings and actually go to the Insider program settings, you can actually choose to stay onto the latest official update. Or if you want to kind of continue with the Insider preview build, you can go ahead and choose that. One caveat that I would actually recommend is if you don't like broken things and bugs, I would say hold off on the new builds, because every time we have an official release and then we start releasing preview build bits, they are probably the most buggiest bits out there, because that's when all the devs and all the teams that were waiting to put stuff into the builds have been waiting until the official build is released, and then they start put all the stuff in that.
Yeah, they do a reverse integration immediately after the release of this build. And releasing the build also means releasing kind of all the branches. They can finally do a reverse integration, and then things become broken immediately.
Exactly. So if you like to live on the edge, I definitely recommend going that way. If you're like me and you like want a stability a bit, I would go either for the slow ring or even staying on the Creators Update for about a bit.
A bit.
You know, not a long time, just for a bit,
A bit.
There you go.
And a year ago, what happened?
So today, so many anniversaries happening lately. So right now is 1 year anniversary of HoloLens.
That's a big deal. You remember? Do you remember that announcement at the build keynote? And then we started shipping HoloLenses to developers. It's been just a year. For me, it feels like it's been at least three.
And related to that, it's been a year since last year's build.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why it's a year. Because this time last year was actually
exactly.
build. right?
Yeah, today Facebook reminded me on a thing that I did after build. It was like, yeah, last year it was nice and warm and sunny in Seattle, and build was over.
Yeah.
And now build is ahead of us.
Anyway, so HoloLens is turning 1 year, and Alex Kipman has a great blog post of everything that has been accomplished since HoloLens was released publicly to everybody to get. So it's in a lot more countries now. There's a lot, tons of cool applications written for it. It's a great blog post to even get inspiration about what to build for HoloLens.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's really cool stuff. Now, switching gears a bit from the kind of the client side of development, going to the more general development side of things, is Martin Woodward has a great blog post on announcing a new program called Spring into DevOps. And Spring into DevOps is a program where throughout the month of April, there will be a set of blog posts, webinars, and events, et cetera. There will be talking about different areas of DevOps and spreading the knowledge of things like integrating with your build systems and doing all kinds of cool stuff that regular developer DevOps.
Yeah, testing and all.
Exactly. So there's actually a whole list of these events that you can do if you go to their website. I think you can go to aka.ms/springintodevops. You can see what are some of the events they already planned. And you can also, if you're already planning to do an event yourself, you can let them know and they can put it on their list as well.
Cool.
It's a really cool stuff.
Yeah, and they actually mentioned the recent Stack Overflow survey for like for the developer ecosystem and for the entire like the preferences of the languages and the countries and all this kind of stuff. So it's also good to take a look on that, and it's all connected to the tools we use, and it's all connected to the way we deploy things and build and test and then do like reverse integrations and get the feedback, and that's all important. It's all part of our
exactly.
life.
Exactly, and people have slowly started to learn about all the processes of DevOps, the integration that we have in there, so it's a really cool way to actually get started with that. And just to learn, even if you know something you want to share with the world, you can do that as well, which is really cool.
Back to releases.
Yeah, so there's a new update to the
Cognitive Toolkit.
Exactly.
And this update is actually quite big. It was coming basically with the smaller updates. We already talked about them. And now it's kind of new release, and basically a new release candidate. It's out of beta. And they introduced a lot of new things. Like, for example, they added new readers for working with the different kind of content, like speech, images, text, because it's important when you do deep learning stuff. It's just important to read for certain formats and to understand the data. They also have integration with TensorBoard, which is like visualization system for deep learning results and data and the processes, because this is what people use across across different deep learning toolkits, and it's good to have compatibility here. They also added a lot of pre-trained models, and it's not just for you to immediate use. It's also when you train a new model, it's also good to start with a pre-trained network, so your network is going to be smarter because it has a sort of, creativity inside in advance. They introduced a distributed scenario for Python, because CNTK is actually the original name is Cognitive Toolkit. It's very good for distributed scenarios. They support object recognition using fast RCNN, which is a big deal. For example, for me, like about 2 years ago, I was doing it by myself. Now it's in CNTK. That's a big deal, and a lot of new things that you're probably going to check it out by yourself.
What I really like about this update is the support for Python and C#, and the a lot of the new samples have actually released for Python. So Python is one of the is becoming one of the de facto language for data scientists for doing all kinds of cool stuff with machine learning.
Yeah.
And there's actually a lot of cool samples that are released with this sample that show how you can do that stuff with Python with the Cognitive Toolkit. Which is really cool. So definitely worth checking out if you're into data science, if you're into neural networks, machine learning, AI, all these different cool stuff. It's a great
tool. Very cool.
Yeah. Now, speaking of more updates, and let's go back into the Windows 10 development world. We announced a new update to the UWP Community Toolkit this week. So this is the fourth update we've had since the announcement of the UWP Community Toolkit, which was last August. So we've had about four updates since then. And this comes up with all kinds of new goodies. There's a whole new controls. There's, for example, the carousel control. It allows you to kind of go between different elements in a carousel. It's really good for if you do an Xbox development for apps. Actually, a great control for that.
What's your favorite new control in that?
The carousel is definitely one of my favorite controls. But what's my favorite part of the toolkit is now we actually have all the controls support all the different input modalities. So all support touch, they all support the controller, they support the keyboard, they support the mouse. And in addition to that, we also make sure that they work great with the narrator, for example. So if you want to build accessible applications, all these controls do support the narrator, so you can build these accessible controls that work for your applications. Because, you know, we have all these requirements when we build these applications, and a lot of these requirements are building accessible apps. And the Community Toolkit makes sure that your apps can actually be that, like that.
For me, I would say, for me personally, when I see this kind of support in the UI Toolkit, in the UI library, it's actually a community library, right? It's also a sign of the maturity. Like, oh, that's really a big deal now. That's really a serious toolkit because they start like thinking about the accessibility, and like that's really important.
That's right. Yeah, and if you decide to actually contribute to the toolkit, there's a whole set of guidance of how to actually make your controls accessible, how to make them work with different controls. So we're actually helping the community, and the community is helping each other how to make these controls better, and they work better for everybody else.
Community is awesome.
Yeah.
Switching gears again.
Yeah, so if you're a web developer.
If you're a web developer.
So if you're a web developer, most likely you need to test your web apps across multiple browsers. And until now, if you wanted to do it test it on Microsoft Edge, you had to either spin up a VM yourself if you didn't have Edge on your machine, or if you want to test it in different versions of Microsoft Edge, you would have to spin up different VMs. There's a new agreement now between Microsoft and BrowserStack where they have Microsoft Edge, a way for you to test your web apps with the different versions of Microsoft Edge. So it's really cool. If you haven't used BrowserStack, you can log into BrowserStack and use their kind of remote way to test out your applications just yourself using different versions of Edge. And there's the anniversary update of Edge and the creators update of Edge is coming up soon. Or you can actually do automated tests. So you can use the WebDriver API to do automated tests with Microsoft Edge inside of the BrowserStack APIs, which is really cool.
In the world of web standards, it's really important to test your website with all kinds of implementations for the standard.
Agree. Yeah. So you want to test your application across all kinds of different browsers to make sure that it works and it looks great everywhere, which is really cool.
Talking about updates, back to updates, and actually about the creators update to an SDK, there is an update for Visual Studio 2017, and it's about many things, but in particular, it's about this this new version of SDK. So basically, if you have your Visual Studio 2017 installed, go and check it. It has an update, and it will also, if you have a UWP development enabled, it's going to install this new SDK. So you don't need to go and install it manually. So
that was quick. We just had an update we just released Visual Studio 2017 like less than a month ago, I believe. Mm-hmm. And now we have a new update. And one of my other cool things, favorite things in this update is the support for the update for Visual Studio Tools for Xamarin and the support for C# 7 within Xamarin, which is really cool. So you can actually try exploring stuff within the Xamarin workbooks and actually start playing out with some of the C# 7 features in there as well, which is amazing. If you haven't tried it out, there's some really cool stuff in C# 7.
Yeah. Personally, being a C++ developer, I'm amazed how fast and how good and like how basically robust C# is. And its progress is also amazing. It's not like C++ that people are arguing about for years just to add this small feature. C# is just going forward so fast, and that's amazing.
Yeah,
I love it.
Now, talking about updates to the platform, I guess, and with the update of Windows 10 Creators Update, we also updated .NET Framework to 4.7. So there's really cool stuff that are coming up in 4.7. And this is going to come down to older versions of Windows 10 as well, but it's now going to be built into the Creators Update. And it has some cool stuff around building high DPI applications for Windows Forms, building getting touch support for WPF applications, which is really cool. And some really cool stuff around everything around general development for .NET applications.
Yeah, and actually this high DPI support and touch support for WPF, people were asking for it for years because they have a lot of desktop apps. Mm-hmm. Like they just have it, they use it. Some of them will eventually be migrated to WP, some of them will stay just by their nature. But they're getting new devices like 4K and 5K, or like the Surface Studio is probably 7 or something like that, K monitor. They want to be able to use those applications.
And they want those applications to look great.
Exactly.
On that kind of
exactly.
monitors.
So this high DPI and touch support is really important. Yeah.
And one more thing to note there is if you have .NET standard type libraries that you're building, mm-hmm. the .NET Framework 4.7 supports everything up to 1.6. So .NET standard.
That's good. Yep.
1.6, so you can do that. And once we have the 2.0 .NET standard, I think that will be supported, yes, later on in the future as well.
And talking about the new .NET stuff, the one big thing that happened this week is a new .NET reference on docs.microsoft.com. That's a big deal. I tried this website immediately once I saw it's coming. It's a very fast website for getting documentation on .NET. If you're curious about a certain feature or a particular class name, you just type it. It's very fast. All the documentation coming live, and it shows like all the possible .NET frameworks that this feature is available in. Like if it's in Xamarin, if it's a .NET Core, if mm-hmm. it's on different versions of .NET framework on Windows and UWP, obviously. It's all there, very fast, in the very good, I would say, very good design, so it's easier to understand and easy to read. And it's a big deal for the team.
I agree. And it's very easy to actually find what you're looking for on the website. It has a really fast way to search through different classes, namespaces, types, or you can actually just go browse directly into the different world of .NET, and it's just a very, very fast way to get documentation.
Yeah, and it's basically based on your feedback. Like, how do you have this reference documentation for .NET? This is how you wanted it, and obviously team is looking forward to getting more feedback from you and then make it better.
They're trying to move more and more documentation to docs, the website.
Yes.
So you can start seeing more and more of the platform documentation that we have moving towards this unified experience, so you can actually get this better experience.
Yeah, as Dan said not long time ago here in this studio, that they're trying to become a Uber documentation site for the entire Microsoft ecosystem.
That would be great, yeah.
That would be great.
Moving on, there's a great blog post on blogs.windows.com that talks about actually the high DPI scaling
updates
10,
yes.
in Windows 10. With the creators update, there's some cool stuff that we've added to the platform that makes it easier for, well, first, developers to add easier and awareness of DPI scaling into their applications to make it look better. But also, the Windows 10 creators update is doing a lot of work behind the scenes to make this automatic for developers. So they don't have to worry about this.
Yeah, there are some situations like your application is not DPI aware. Mm-hmm. That's one thing, and they've been doing a lot of work previously for these kind of applications, fixing it and making them look great. But there are even worse applications. They say, oh, we are DPI aware, but they are not actually. So they just put this in the manifest, but they do nothing internally for mm-hmm. that. And it's like Windows is like, okay, this application is DPI aware, so like it will take care of it.
No.
They're also handling these issues. They're trying to kind of understand that the application is not really DPI aware, despite the fact that it's declaring it, and fix the application too. Yeah. That's a big deal.
So Peter is doing a great job. He actually goes through a lot of those different things in this blog post and talks about what, as developers, you can do and what are some of the automatic things that we do in there, and actually has a few examples of application to do this,
mm-hmm.
which is great.
Picks of the week.
No, that's time.
Yay!
So my pick of the week is actually a great blog post by our friend David Rousset, a French guy, who's talking about all the a way for you to create a browser extension for all kinds of different browsers. So in this case, he's going through the process of creating a browser extension for Edge, Chrome, Firefox, Opera, Brave, and Vivaldi.
What is Brave and Vivaldi?
Well, I'll let you figure that out after this blog post. It's easy. You just go on your favorite search engine and you figure it out. Anyway, he goes through this, and what I like about this actually talks about all the different ways that you can create even custom code for these different browsers. Mm-hmm. We can actually have a lot of the share code. And we're going towards a model where we actually have a standard for building these model browser extensions. He talks about the way that we're heading over there, because there's already a browser extension community group that does this work. So just basically just talking about all the work that's already been done and how easy it is to make these things.
Yeah, I remember the time when it started with Internet Explorer and browser helper objects. Yeah, all these like C++ COM stuff, and you were building these extensions, and they were like, they started from probably 200 kilobytes of code just for getting started, just for being loaded to IE. And now it's like all nice and lightweight, and
it's all
unfortunately JavaScript.
And, yeah, exactly. It's easy.
It's easy now.
Yeah. So great blog post, strongly recommended.
I love it.
Yeah. What's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week. Last week, Digital Foundry visited our campus here in Redmond, and they actually talked to Xbox team, and Xbox team shared a lot of details on Project Scorpio. Project Scorpio, for you who doesn't know, it's basically new Xbox that is going to be shipped at the end of 2017, so quite soon. So it's going to be a great console. They were talking about mostly the specs and what it gives to game developers and obviously to gamers. And it comes with the 8-core GPU on 2.3 gigahertz. That's a big deal. It comes with a 12 gigabyte of RAM, which is a lot for a console. It comes with a memory that has bandwidth of 326 gigabit per second. That's also a lot. And of course, like for the graphics performance, they have, I need to read it, 40 customized compute units, and each unit comes with 1172 megahertz. That's a big deal. It basically, and Lane, if as a gamer, you may ask, like, what does it mean for me as a user? Like, and it means that with the new Forza tech, like with the graphics engine we use for Forza, which is very, like, I would say, photorealistic game, it will go in 4K, in like true 4K resolution with the 60 hertz. That's a big deal. 60
FPS. So
all
you're saying basically,
yes,
this is a beast, and it's going to be very powerful.
And it's going to be very powerful, and it's going to be very beautiful. It's going to be a nice console. And if you are, again, as a gamer, you're asking like, okay, all these guys, like you produced a great beast, a great console, great piece of tech. How about the games? You know, there will be E3. Mm-hmm. So just wait for E3. There will be games.
I agree. And I think it's the only thing that's missing is for them to give it to me for free. And I'll be the happiest person on earth.
I'm sure you will get it for free eventually.
I'm hoping.
Yes, you work.
Here's me hoping. Anyway, I think that's all the news we have for today. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And we hope to see you next week.